What is going on, Knoll fans? This is the Knoll It All Podcast. I'm Kyle Wright. And it was a beautiful day in Tallahassee, Florida yesterday. Got to go check out the spring showcase. Got to go with the boys, you know, Kobe Mongold, Josh Tucker, Stu. Me, Stu, and Tuck took the brand new minivan over. It was a great ride. We went and checked out the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill over there in Tallahassee. That place is awesome. Can't say enough about that place. I say it's hard to mess up chicken wings, but it's really not. I had 10 chicken wings, a side of fries, you know, a couple tall beers. The beer was cold. Plenty of TVs. Shout out to those guys. Corner Pocket. You gotta go. You gotta go check them out if you're in the Tallahassee area. Not 100% sure what just happened to me there, but maybe I glitched. Not sure. A lot of alcohol yesterday. I will say that. A lot of fun, though. A lot of fun. Had a great time in Tallahassee, as always. I'm going to talk about the spring showcase today. Obviously going to talk about what I liked from the spring showcase, what I didn't like from it. There's plenty of both. Not really so much that I didn't like, but I think the things that I didn't like are big issues that are going to need to be addressed, or they will play a big role in this team's performance. So the first thing I want to address real quick, Dope Campbell Stadium looked terrible. They've got it gutted right now. We all had to sit on the visitor side in the top rows. The Champions Club was open in the area under there. The other end zone was open, but most of the action was headed towards the end zone with the Champions Club. It just didn't feel like Doak. It was really hard to see it that way. But, you know, as somebody who was in a car accident recently, you know, did my whining about that in the last episode. Been struggling with some back pain and sitting in those bleachers yesterday and today, I'm a little sore. So the upgrades are needed at Doak. It's hard to see our beautiful stadium like that, gutted that way, but the upgrades are needed. I disagree with some of the things that they're doing, but that's maybe a whole nother podcast if I even decide to go down that rabbit hole, because I know that'll cause some issues with some of the people that listen. But some of the things they're doing I disagree with, but I do know that the seating is in desperate need of upgrading. The bleachers are just outdated, man. They're hard. And I'm a big boy already. And now I'm, you know, somebody who's been in a serious car accident this year. And it hurts. It hurts. A lot more pain today. I went golfing on Friday, and I wasn't sore yesterday. And today, I am feeling every bit of it. So, can't blame the golf. Got to blame the seats, because I want to be able to golf. And I don't have an FSU game for at least 4 months. So, got to keep that in the wife's ear. You know, it was the stadium, babe. It wasn't the golf. I got to be able to golf. All right. So as far as on the field, the team came out yesterday. Here's a lot of the things I liked. I want to start first with the turquoise jerseys. I thought they looked great. They had them on the no tackle players and the quarterbacks and a few other random guys had them on. Turquoise jerseys looked great to me. I think that's a soft confirmation that we're going to see those in a game this year. And I'm excited for that. They looked great with the garnet pants. Didn't love the gold helmet with them. So I would hope maybe they have a garnet helmet they could throw on with it. Or maybe they could figure out a turquoise helmet. I'm not 100% sure how that would look. It's something that I don't have the skill set to put into play as far as like making a Photoshop. But I think it would look really good with a garnet helmet or a blue or a turquoise blue helmet. But I do hope that they wear those in a game this year. They looked really good. Marvin Jones Jr. 100% looked as advertised yesterday. He had a lot of nice pressures. There was one in particular where he just absolutely barreled through Jeremiah Byers. You guys know Byers that's a big boy, man. That's a great offensive lineman that we have. And Marvin Jones Jr. just gave him hell. I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot more of him opposite side of Pat Payton. I really think that that's a good way that you can try to supplement losing Jared Verse. I didn't really see much from the other edge rushers, which I don't know. I do want to get this out because I don't want to forget to say this. I hate spring games. I hate the way Florida State does their spring game. I know I said this last year, and I told you guys that the schedule for the preseason is going to be a lot similar to the way things went last year, but I just want to make sure that I get that across. I hate spring games already, and I especially hate the way Florida State does theirs. I get why they do it. I completely understand. But I hate it. I just can't stand it. Because when stuff like this happens, what I'm talking about right now, it creates a dilemma in your head. Like, hey, was that good offense or was that bad defense? Was that good defense or was that bad offense? And, you know, it can be both. It could be both in either world. It could be both good and bad. It could be both bad and good. It's good on good, bad on bad. It happens. But it's hard to tell, and I wish that they would take those opportunities and do like light scrimmages against like Florida A&M or something. I'm sure maybe this is where your small schools come in. Hey, this is where we see what Florida State's got. This is where we schedule a Duquesne. This is where we schedule a Southern Miss, something like that, instead of in the regular season. If the playoff expansion does keep happening and you have to cut a regular season game out, maybe that's a way where you can keep that cupcake schedule. Maybe Kennesaw State comes to play in Tallahassee in April for the spring game. I don't know. I don't know if that's easier said than done, but I don't like inter-squad scrimmages, spring games. Never been a big fan. So, but Marvin Jones Jr., he had one play in particular that I really loved. Pat Payton blew up the offensive line. The pass was thrown. Marvin Jones Jr. kind of shot across the middle, deflected the pass, and almost picked it off. He's big. He's strong. Looking forward to seeing him on this defense. Jalen Lucas. My goodness. Easily the return man for the 2024 Florida State Seminoles. Kicks and punts. Obviously, I don't know how Norvell's going to treat that. He took a lot of snaps at running back as well. But if I was the coach, this man would 100% be my return specialist, and I would obviously have different packages involved in the offense for him. He did have a fumble, I'm pretty sure, but his feet were so fast, man. Like, you couldn't even see his feet move. And he would cut, and he would be 10 yards upfield. He had great vision in the little return drills that they were doing. He would just split the middle, and then he was gone. It was game over. There was no way anybody was going to catch him. Jalen Lucas, he's wearing number 13 on offense. That's going to be a little sensitive spot for Florida State fans for a little while to see somebody else wearing that number 13, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But I thought Jalen Lucas looked great yesterday. 100% the return man for this team. All right, so DJU and Malik Benson together, they're going to be dangerous, man. I really enjoyed watching Malik Benson play. He went down with an injury. Norvell, of course, we won't have an update on, like a solid update on that for a little while, a couple of days at least. But Norvell said in the press conference yesterday that he doesn't think that any of them are long-term, which would be good for Malik Benson because he looked incredible. Those two had a great connection together. Malik's routes and DJ's arm, they just mixed really well. This one's a little good and bad, I guess. We were laughing up in the stands about it. We had a couple fans around us laughing as well. You got the full DJU experience yesterday, the full DJ Uiagalelei experience. He would throw a bad pass that is, dangerous, that should have been picked. Then he would throw a good pass that would get dropped, and then he'd throw an absolute dart. And that is the full DJU experience. It's going to be a weird year seeing that. But I will say this, man, watching him put the ball downfield, he has the best-looking arm that we've had in Tallahassee since Jameis Winston. And that's easy. I thought Francois had a good arm pre-knee injury. I don't know what happened when he came back. Obviously, had a much different coaching staff when he came back from that injury. But pre-injury, Francois was pretty good. But DJ's got the easily got the best arm we've seen in Tallahassee since Jameis. And I'm excited to see that on the field. The tight ends looked incredible. I'm expecting a lot of Kyle Morlock and Preston Daniel this year. Didn't really get to see any Jalen Thomas, or golly, I should have wrote his name down. The five-star tight end that came in that they docked to a four-star because he committed to Florida State and nowhere else. Landon Thomas. I don't know where I got Jalen Thomas from, but Landon Thomas. Didn't get to see him in action yesterday. Not sure if he played or if he just didn't suit up. A lot of the young guys didn't, but talk about that in a second. A lot of Morlock and a lot of Preston Daniel, and I'm okay with that, man. I like a tight end heavy offense. I mean, if you think back, when's the last time we got the tight end heavily involved, right? It was 2013, 2014 with Nick O'Leary. That's the last time that Florida State really just 100% utilized the tight end position. And I'm not sure if you guys remember, but they went undefeated both years. They lost in the playoff in 14, and they won the national championship in 13. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a tight end heavy offense. They were great in the blocking. They were great in catching. Everything that you would want a tight end to do, it looks like we're pretty solid on that end. The secondary and the defensive line, excellent tackling technique. Shaheem Brown did get run over by Roydell Williams at one point, but I'm not sure that that's something that you can dock a player for because Roydell runs like a grown man. I was impressed with the secondary. I was impressed with the defensive line. Not a lot of bad things to say about those guys. Would have liked to see some more of the young guys on both ends, but I understand why we didn't get to see much. And some of the veterans too. You didn't really get to see a whole lot of those guys. Bad thing about doing this in the morning, you're still yawning. The running back room is absolutely stacked. Obviously, Toa Fili was pretty limited yesterday, coming off of foot surgery during the offseason. But I don't think that there's a running back 1, 2, 3. I think that this is going to be a committee with Toa Fili, Keziah Holmes, and Roydell Williams. Assuming none of them have entered the transfer portal at this point, and assuming none of them leave Tallahassee, I truthfully think that those guys will all three be heavily involved in this offense because, I mean, we'll talk about it more on the bad side, but I think that this offense is going to have to be run heavy this year, and that's fine because, again, if you think about all the success that Florida State's had, they were really good at running the ball in those years, and we need to be good at running the ball, and I think they're going to be 1A, 1B, 1C. I think Toa Fili will get a lot of the, scat back carries, but I think Keziah and Roydell will get a lot of the Trey Benson workload. Those guys run hard. They run uphill. Run downhill. Toa Fili's an excellent pass catcher, obviously. I expect to see Jalen Lucas take a lot of snaps at the running back position as well. I'm excited about the running back room. Nothing bad to say about that at all. Kai Bates and Charles Lester, Slime, they both looked really good yesterday in coverage. I think they were two of the only true freshmen that ended up suiting up, but they looked really good on the opposite sides of each other. Azariah Thomas was just, man, I'm excited for him to be in Tallahassee still. I'm glad that they were able to keep him around. He switched his jersey number to number 8. I'm going to go ahead and I think Josh Tucker said it. He's going to be an All-American this year. He might be the best corner in college football by the time it's all said and done. Looking forward to seeing more AZ. And the last good thing I want to highlight, obviously there was more, but I could sit here and talk all day about the good, and I feel like I have to do my due diligence and do a little bit of bitching on this episode today. There were a lot of former players on the sideline yesterday. Jordan Travis was down there, Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Jerrion Jones, among the notable guys that I was able to spot. They were all down there taking pictures with the fans, signing stuff for the fans. They were on the sideline. It was beautiful to see, and I'm pretty sure Amari Gaynor was down there too, which is even bigger to me because Amari Gaynor transferred to North Carolina to play his last year, and If that was really him, I have no confirmation that that was him. But, man, that just speaks, either way, those guys being around just speaks to the culture that Mike Norvell is already building in Tallahassee. God, I'm so happy he stayed. Happy we didn't lose him to the Crimson Tide. I know they wanted him. No matter what anybody tells you, it was close. He was, I think, in my opinion, is Dan Lanning was their first choice, and Mike Norvell was their second choice, and I think they ended up going with their third choice of Kalen DeBoer, which I think he'll do really good there. I think Mike Norvell would have done better, and I think Dan Lanning would have won a national championship within the first 2 or 3 years. So, anyway, happy that we were able to keep Mike in Tallahassee. I think it was a lot closer than some of us want to admit to him leaving. Now, let's talk about the things that I didn't like. So, it became clear yesterday, I think Florida State fans, the last 2 years, we've gotten kind of spoiled in the turnover game. Jordan Travis did not turn the ball over a lot. Jordan Travis didn't take a lot of shots downfield. He didn't throw a lot of balls into coverage. He always took the, you know, he took, I say it sounds like an insult when you say it like this, but Jordan Travis took the easy way out. But we won a lot of games under Jordan Travis, and especially the last 2 years. This team that we have right now is going to turn the ball over a little more than we've grown accustomed to. And I'm not talking in the 20s. I mean, I would say that Florida State this year, after what last year, I think they turned the ball over maybe 4 or 5 times. I would say we're probably going to double that this year. I would say 10 to 14 times would be my, 10 to 15 would be my guess. Of 3 to 4 fumbles and 10 to 12 interceptions for DJ. Like I said earlier, DJ has an incredible arm. He was a bit indecisive at times and just sat in the pocket. And it doesn't matter how big and strong you are, if you sit in the pocket and you take a hit from a big defensive lineman moving full steam, you're probably going to fumble. He was indecisive at times, but I do think that that may be because of the last thing that I'm going to talk about. So I'll save that for just a few more minutes. The linebacking core, one of the primary concerns going into the spring, going into this last entry of the transfer portal, the linebacking core does not seem strong to me at all. I mentioned it as a good, and I've already mentioned that this is why I hate spring games, but the tight ends were running absolutely wild. And you know, the linebackers are responsible for those guys. There were a lot of missed tackles. There were guys getting shook out of their boots by dudes that had foot surgery 4 months ago. So wasn't super thrilled with the way the linebackers played. And we'll see what things are looking like for the next recording. But I think that that might be a, if things go as planned, a big transfer portal episode where we talk about what we need. A lot of the young guys didn't suit up. I've already kind of teased this a couple times. You know, obvious reasons, I'm sure, for a lot of them. But there was just some guys that I was super excited to see in action that we didn't get to see. Cam Davis, Luke Cromenhawk, Landon Thomas, Camden Fryer, LaWayne McCoy. A lot of the, most of those guys didn't suit up yesterday. Again, it's completely understandable, but I'm still going to complain about it because I have my own podcast, and I'm allowed to do that on my podcast. So, yeah, I just wish we could have seen some more of these young guys in action, but again, I completely understand why we didn't. And now for the biggest one. DJ Uiagalelei was 12 of 26 passing yesterday, and I think that 8 of those were dropped. They were drop passes. The receiving core is, I talked about the linebacking core being not great. I think I would go as far to say that the receiving core is bad. I know I'll probably take some heat for this, and that's okay. You can come at me if you want. That's fine. We don't always have to agree. But I thought the receiving core looked bad yesterday. Malik Benson looked incredible. And the compliments pretty much stop there. Kendron Poitier and a couple of other guys, I think Darion Williamson, Van Jacobs, there were drop passes left and right, just bouncing off their hands, bouncing off their chests, and that's in the game, that's in the pregame. Hakeem Williams looked lost. He was slow off the line. Couldn't get open with a true freshman, with a kid that's technically still in high school covering him. His former five-star coming out. It's just, to me, this is the biggest concern for Florida State going into this season. I understand you're replacing a lot here, man. You're replacing Keon. You're replacing Johnny Wilson. Destin Hill is out right now. I completely understand those things. But you know at the wide receiver position, especially in college football, you have to be like six or seven deep. At least five or six. And right now, we have one wide receiver healthy that I completely trust. Ja'Kai Douglas, I know that he can have some good games. I know that Destin Hill can be good once he comes back. We didn't really get to see much of that last year. They've got to hit the portal hard for wide receivers, especially with a guy with a big arm like DJ, man. You don't want to waste that. You don't want to waste the potential to put the ball downfield with dropped passes. And, man, it worries me. That's 100% my primary concern for this team right now. They seem like they can't get elite receiver play. And maybe that's kind of always, not always been an issue at Florida State, but, you know, they've always had one guy, it seems, you know, Peter Warwick or Anquan Boldin or, Kelvin Benjamin, Rashad Green. Those guys were on the same team, so that's kind of asinine for me to say. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's always kind of been a thing, I guess. But I feel like when you have a quarterback with a big arm like DJ, you need to have a couple of options out there. And for these guys to be on scholarship to play the quarterback position and be dropping passes left and right, that's not okay to me. And it needs to be addressed. Whether that's through the portal, whether that's through better coaching, whether that's through threatening to lose your spot, I don't know. I don't know who's going to hit the portal over the next couple of days. I don't know what Mike Norvell is going to do once he can contact players starting on Tuesday. But I know that from a fan's perspective, again, I'm not a guy. This is a fan's perspective podcast is where I've already said this season, but that's what this is. This isn't I'm not one of these guys that get to go to all the practices. I'm not one of these guys that get to go sit in all the press conferences. I don't have a working relationship with anybody at Florida State. Jeff Colhane, the play-by-play commentator for Florida State Radio, is the voice of Florida State. I consider him a friend, but that would be the only quote-unquote connection that I have to the program other than being an extremely passionate Florida State fan. My point on that is this is 100% an opinionated podcast. So take that for what you will. I'm a passionate fan. And those of you that know me, I'm a very knowledgeable fan. Nobody knows the strengths and weaknesses of their team better than me. I've always said that. I will never say anything about my team that I feel is untrue, whether that be good or bad. And in this case, bad. The receiving core is terrible, and it needs to be addressed. And that's where I'll leave the bitching and moaning for now. Next episode, I'm aiming for May 12th. Once again, going monthly until the season starts. And then, of course, I'll be on here after every single game. Look for episodes on Sundays. That's the best day to release. Football's on, Saturday, so Sunday makes sense. I know Florida State's first home game is on a Monday night, so that episode will obviously be on a Tuesday. Super fucking weird, but still. Hey, leave a review, subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends about it. like us, like, man, I don't know. Also, don't know if you guys follow me on social media, but you should. True K.A. Wright on Twitter, True K.A.W.R.I.G.H.T., True K.A.W. on Instagram and TikTok, and then just Kyle Aaron Wright on Facebook. Go follow me. That's where you'll get all the news and stuff. That's where I post all the new episodes, all the ideas and everything. But if you've been following, big announcement that Drew Gorman, my good friend Drew, and I made this week. We're getting ready to start a new YouTube show / podcast here in a couple of months called Leave It at the Table. Super excited about that show. It's sports, pop culture, men's perspective on current events, Panama City Beach events, just a little bit of everything. So be looking out for news on that as well. Go follow me on all those social media platforms. And until next time, go Noles.